Adobe Connect or something. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm not sure if we have anyone to call because evening already. But glad to see that others are on the call. Can we start? So we have apologies from Mirjana, and apparently some more people will join us a little bit later, let's hope. So we'll start with the presentation update on the work that we've managed so far, and consultations regarding approval action. That is a session we have on Tuesday. I don't know how much time we have, 40 minutes.
Hi, Katrina, can I interrupt?
Yeah, sure.
We've got real connectivity problems with Adobe Connect. I can't get in on two different platforms. Ben cannot get in on two different platforms. I just want to make ICANN staff aware of that.
Yeah, I had problems too. I closed my Firefox, restarted it, and then miraculously managed to log in. So maybe you could try it too.
We'll play. Carry on. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks. So we have 45 minutes for GRC and PDP update. PDP does not have much to tell us, so it's that's 5-10 minutes which suffice for them. So we have 35-40 minutes for this discussion. So we start. I'll start by summarizing what are the things that we did from since Copenhagen, and that's the new guideline procedure for exercise for EC rights to approve specified actions, and that is the one we need to have community consultation on, because we sent it to the mailing list and triggered some response, so we need to understand what it's all about. Then we have seasonal council elections guideline. It's more or less finished, needs to be sent to the council and then to the community. Still working on travel funding, waiting for response. For some further developments regarding citizens of councils submission. And then we have, we're working on the rejection actions and roles and responsibilities, will be renamed a little bit. As you remember, we updated with council. The election elections to council positions different. Okay, next one. So we're going to approval actions, more discussing them in more details. So according to the bylaws, we have in three cases trigger approval actions: fundamental bylaws amendment, articles amendments, and asset sales. So in all these cases, for the changes to take effect, we need approval from at least from the majority of decisional participants. So what are the decisional participants? Oh, no, sorry. That's going to be a rejection action. So approval action guideline defines the role of the approval action manager, so who this is and what are his or her main responsibilities, and describes procedures relating to approval action. And that's all communication, its consultation with the community, and how the Citizenship Council will take the decision. So, next one here, I will go into details explaining the process for approval actions. And the most important thing is that we use the current approval action to test our procedures and think what needs to be done. One of the things is that we need to propose and have a clear information flow, and we need to capture everything that's going on around the approval action. So on the website, we added links, a part which has information related to our role of decisional participant, approval actions and rejection actions. Nothing under rejection actions yet, but approval action we have one. Currently we have one action, that's the change about which is proposed by the board regarding their committees and distribution of responsibilities of these committees. And if you go deeper, then you see more information about the particular approval action. Here we have all relevant publications and links and email exchange discussions, and then other correspondence. We try to have information from all CCTLDs who express their position regarding this particular action. Then we move back to the approval action and concentrate on the last part. So as I mentioned, we have the session on Tuesday, and on Tuesday morning we have community forum, so that will set the stage for our discussion. So community forum, and we can ask questions, and the board has to respond. Here there's a slight change from the previous picture of this timeline. We had this, that it's an icon that holds community forum. Now there's a change, it's ECA, Empowered Community Administration, that holds the community forum. So let's concentrate on these 21-day period after which we need to come up with a decision. So here it is. Maybe I need to change it a little bit. So it's approval action after the end of the item meeting in Johannesburg. A 21-day period starts, and at the end of that period, we decisions need to come up with a decision, whatever it might be. And here, again, we have some problems with the fonts here. Apparently, we need to look into this issue because it's very difficult to see here. Basically, so what do we have? The full CCNSL process, according to the rules of the CCNSL from 2004. So there's an issue. CCNSL discusses the issue. And at least I could not find in the rules any limitations to our discussions. But at some point, CCNSL Council is asked to vote on the resolution. And according to the bylaws, the Council has 7 days. After 7 days, there's a 5 days period during which the resolution needs to be decision needs to be published. So when it's published, the community has 7 days to initiate the vote. So 10% of CCNSL members can ask to either veto or ratify CCNSL decision. So currently there's a proposal, and CCNSL members are asked to vote. So it takes 5 plus 14 days. In 5 days, there needs to be... within 5 days, we need to initiate the voting, and it takes 14 days. So then there is decision if more than 50% of our members vote, which is highly unlikely, which means that if less than 50% vote, then there needs to be a second vote. And it takes, between the end of the first vote and second vote, we need to have 14 days. And after that, another 14 days of voting. And then, regardless of the number of votes received, the majority sets the outcome. So it either ratify the vote, the decision, or veto the decision. If I counted correctly, in case of the worst scenario, which is the most likely scenario, means the second vote, it takes approximately 66 days. That's how I counted. Of course, we can publish the decision. Well, we don't need 5 days. In theory, we have 5 days, but in practice, the Secretariat always publish information in 1-2 days. Technically, we could reduce number of days there. What else? Well, others, I don't see how we could possibly... probably we can, to initiate seasonal on members' votes, we can... we don't need 5 days, but again, 2 days. But in any case, at least 60 days. At least 60 days. That period does not include the time for discussions and consultation with the community. Clearly, things need to be discussed. So, next, again, I have problems with the phone, and I see that Alejandra, I think I used Arial Narrow for most of the slides, but on my screen they fit imperfectly, so maybe that will not solve the problem. But I think Kim and I both have to work on this. Yeah, Arial Narrow could be one of the possible solutions. So what do we have here? We have... we need to squeeze in our 60. Oh, I hear that Stephen has joined us because of that horrible echo. Okay, so 66 clearly is not equal to 21. So the challenge here is how to squeeze our 66-day period into 21 days. Clearly is a challenge. So let's look at the seasonal process. We could have 4 stages. So first stage is consultations. Second stage is a counter decision. Then a community objection and members vote. The Guidelines Review Committee has two proposals. Alternative one, when we skip community objection and members vote, meaning that council hears the community and then decides. 10% cannot object, which means that also, there's no members vote. In this case, we just need to trust the council. Again, I will have pros and cons for that. And alternative two is basically we do not have members vote, and we significantly reduce discussion and consultations. because we won't have time for that. So it meant previous, here we have community discussion, 12 days plus 7 days for the council to take the final decision. And here we have 5 days of discussions, 7 days for the council to take decision, and then we wait for another 7 days for a community objection. So in this case, and it or maybe more percent of citizens or members and have again veto the decision. So basically, an alternative one means that we have no veto and we have no possibility to ratify decision. And alternative two, we do not discuss. Council takes decision. There is a veto. Well, technically it is a veto because community is not given a chance to ratify the decision. Again, pros and cons for this one. And here we come with the vote. Oh, not vote, it's temperature in the room. So we see which alternative seems more acceptable to the community. So that is the presentation. I see David handing up. Yes, please, David.
Thanks, Katrina. if you're asking for our preference now, I sort of like the idea of consultations and a council decision. We have you know, a large and diverse council. I think that's something that we could invest in the council. The only thing I would say as maybe a compliment to that is something along the lines of email reminders. On a lot of email lists, you get a monthly reminder that you're on this list and here's the purpose of the list. It seems to me that maybe once or twice a year, the CCNSO would put out a standard email to members saying, remember the approval and or rejection process. It's under bylaw, Annex D. Here's a pointer to that bylaw. Please be aware that these very truncated processes come up every once in a while, and here's how you can educate yourself as to how this happens. But by and large, all that's involved is a consultation, and then a council will take a decision. So be aware of your rights and be ready to participate in the consultations. Anyway, that's what I would – I sort of like that alternative. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, David. Martin?
Thanks so much, Katrina. I must admit, I thought that there'd been quite a healthy discussion on list, and certainly what seemed to be coming out for me was that there was quite a polarization between the comments that people were making. And a lot of that actually does seem to me probably to be associated with the yes, but what do you do if you actually have a strong if you have a strong opinion, and then the council votes against the way that you think the decision should be made, and that could be actually quite a strong groundswell. Just it's been helpful to hear you go through the process again, and in particular how to fit 61 days into 66 days into 21, because our formal processes are quite long in that we go out for two rounds of voting because you never get quorum the first time. Now, I think the sort of feeling to me was that there does need to be some way for the community to put its collective hand up and say, we hear what the council is recommending, but we do not like it. And that might be we can't agree because 50% of CCTLDs, plus or minus, say one way and the other 50% say the other, and therefore perhaps the CCNSO should not be putting an input in this, but just abstaining because the community is divided. And it's that sort of approach that is that seems to me that we could end up missing, that we're not getting a proper input. You just get the mouthy ones coming forward, and so everybody knows what their views are. But others where things are sort of a little bit more mitigated probably need a little bit more time, and certainly I think probably do need to have some sort of veto from the community or some sort of ratification process, either or, which says, yes, the council has done a good job. I hear what David says, and I think David is quite right, that the community, the council comes from a wide background and should be reasonably well attuned to the views of their members. But it still seems to me that at the minimum, the alternative two is the right way forwards. An alternative actually might be to do a simplified format of vote, which would then be seen as something to help the council be assured that the decision that they were proposing was in fact one that did get broad community support. So, you know, I'm finding it difficult to sort of say we should go down one route or the other. It's just that I do feel that alternative one lacks a certain degree of accountability in the immediate accountability in the actions of the council, the decisions of the council. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. I must admit I did not hear about 80% of your speech because it was coming and going, so audio was not perfect, unfortunately. I hope that others could hear and that it's well captured in the notes. Not sure you hear me, actually, but let's hope
yes,
you do.
Yes, we do, and Stephen has his hand up. Hi, Katrina, this is Bart. Katrina, Stephen has his hand up.
Oh, okay. You hear me because I see that my mic is off. Yes,
Katrina,
I see that,
I can hear
but
you.
Can you hear me? No.
Yes,
but
you
I
can.
See that my mic is turned off. Now it's on. Okay, Stephen. Okay, good thing.
Good morning to everybody.
Stephen, please.
I have now removed my ECA hat and have my CCNSO hat on, and with regards to prior comments, the fundamental problem we have here is that our rules / regulations / guidelines are really going to hobble us with respect with responding to empowered community decisions that are going to be put in front of us. And this is something we really have to address. It's not so much of an issue with an approval guideline action, which is what we have coming up in front of us in Johannesburg, but with regards to rejection petition actions, individual board removal actions, filling the board, et cetera, going down that dark path, we really have a problem. We have got to sort out how the CCNSO as a community supporting organization through its representative body, the CCNSO Council, can respond to this stuff in a timely manner, because the reality is the current structures will not allow us as a decisional participant to actually participate in the decision-making that is required of us as a decisional participant community representative going forward. So we got to fix it. That's all. Thanks.
Katrina, are you back? No. Any other comments on this position? Because as Stephen said, it's not just limited to the approval action. It is broader with, say, the timelines and the issues with the CCNSO decision-making are also probably more visible even in the rejection petition actions process. David, go ahead.
Thank you, Bart. And I was listening to Stephen, and I agree that these very compressed timeframes are a problem, I think especially so with respect to rejection action. I was just reading through Annex D on rejection actions before the phone call, and I think it is a problem. One of the things, this is a comment sort of along the lines that I made earlier about sort of reminders, periodic reminders. One of the things we need to do is educate the CCNSO community that in light of new empowered community powers, they come at a bit of a cost in the sense of we have to move more quickly. And so we need to do, I think, email reminders. We might want to create sort of a hard copy handout for ICANN meetings that are distributed almost, you know, for someone that it's almost like a card you put in your wallet or something like that. Some kind of a physical reminder that is at each ICANN meeting that people can walk away with that sort of says, you know, when these things hit the email box, understand that we are on a very short time frame and we will move accordingly. You know, educate yourself, be prepared to move swiftly. That's we don't have an alternative. These are important rights to approve things, to reject things, but they come at the expense for us of moving more quickly. And we're going to put procedures in place, but, you know, get educated, understand this. We have to be able to operate them. That's one possible step, and I'm sure there may be others. Thanks, Bart.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Katrina is back. Katrina, David just made the comment, as you will see in the notes, and I think if you look at the chat, people are agreeing that there is a need for proactive action, probably no matter how you want to slice or dice it, alternative one and alternative two, and under alternative one, it's probably almost a requirement to do this proactive action. And as far as I can tell, it is, this proactive action is included in the draft guideline, and maybe it should be reinforced one way or the other. But that's another discussion. So I hand it back to you. Katrina?
Back to me, that's to me, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I reconnected, but it's still not much of an improvement. Okay, luckily you can hear me, and I can hear some parts of what you're saying, but unfortunately not enough. I'd say the least important fact, right? I think that the alternative is, and no much substantial information. For some reason, it just deletes all the substantial information and does not deliver it to me. Okay, so So can we now, yeah, so thank you very much for your comments. I will read them in the chat during when I'll give presentation to the community, I will summarize all the discussion we had on the email list and the one we had today, well, not only today, but among GRC members. So, thank you very much. Can we then move to rejection action, presentation on rejection action? So, as you know, on Wednesday, we'll have a session dedicated to rejection action. And as you know, Stephen has told us many times before, rejection actions are even more complicated than approval actions. And in order to understand what it is and how to handle a rejection action, and before we start working on the guideline, we want to explain to the community what it is. And we decided to do it in a fun way, although otherwise it's head is just going to blow up. We try to read NXD. So in a fun way, as a simulation, as a real-life simulation, probably not real-time, but yes, real-life simulation. And before the simulation, we'll give a short update. A short update to inform the community what it is. I don't know if you see the slides. I don't. I think that something is loading, but again, I think it might be.
We can see them, Katrina. We can see them, Katrina.
Well, first, do you hear me? Another thing is, do you see?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, it's for what? That's good. Do you see the presentation? Because I don't. Okay, you see presentation. I don't see it, and I will just open it on my computer. And we'll start with, somebody to change the slides. I don't know if I can change. No, it's better if somebody else changes. Kim will change the slides. Excellent. So the first slide, second slide, it's again, I use the same picture used in Copenhagen to tell that icon by law is a very complicated read, and if you do it on your own, you do it on your own risk, of course, and your head is going to go up eventually. So next slide, please. At this point, we have no idea what it means, so we're just keep moving forward. Today we're going to, today is the day when it's what will take place. We'll just explore some unknown land and try to see how it works and what it is. But again, everyone will be doing this the first time. And before we move forward, it's important to understand, next slide, please, what the important. Okay, I'm supposed to be back, I hope. Okay, I am back. Yes, so empowered community. Empowered community, I said that lost the connection and then just got to be connected. But still no slide. So empowered community, there are five, slides are coming too. There are five SOSA seeds. GNSO, CCNSO, ASO, ALAC, and GAC. And each of these SOSA seeds is a decisional participant, altogether called decisional participants, and they have the right to reject some specified actions. Next slide, please. And these actions are given in the bylaws. Well, it's difficult to predict anything yet, but in the case of the CCNSO, probably most often we'll see some activities, some PTI governance action, ICANN budgets, IANA budgets, operating strategic plans. Don't think that other actions appear take place so too often. So next slide, please. Just like in case of approval actions, so here we have some timeline. There's start of an event, then there's 40 days public comment period, then there is staff report on the public comment period, and board of direction takes decision. Notifies ECA through that CCNSO also gets notified, and at some point CCNSO gets involved. We'll talk about that a bit later, but here we have from ICANN. ICANN has prepared a very nice summary. Okay, maybe not from very clear, but it's still a very nice summary of empowered community powers. So, let's see, each of the decisional participants may initiate a petition. Example of, it could be a CCNSO, but we'll, again, talk about that later. I see the slide. Excellent. Yeah, isn't that nice? Thank you. Thank you, God of the Connects, for connecting me fully. Yes, so we have... a petition is initiated in SO or AC. Then the petition, although we need support from another SO AC, then if the petition is supported by another SO or AC, participating in a power community, then there's a conference call with ICANN board to discuss it. And and the next step is, again, community forum, very much like in case of approval action. Yeah, and then the empowered community sees if it wishes to use community power. And at the end, the community advises the ICANN board of its decision. I think, yeah, in this case, if we have the five decisional participants, so at least three must support the petition. See if I can change the slide. Okay, yes, I can change the slide. So, this process can be divided into two steps. The first one is 21 days period when during which CCNSO has the opportunity to submit a petition, which means that first we have to decide. First CCNSO received the petition from somebody. We have to decide who this somebody might be. From the time being, let's say it's from CCPOD. So the council may reject petition or accept petition. Again, if we follow our our process that 10% of technical members can call for certification. And CCNSO members vote too late. So basically we have no decision on the petition. After the 21-day period, if another decisional participant submits a petition, I will have 7 days to decide whether to support the petition or not. And in this case, clearly there's no time for certification call. So that's only 7 days period.
Katrina lost connection again. Just a minute. So I'll continue. So in the case another decisional participant requests support of the CCNSO as a decisional participant to support a petition, then again, as Katrina said, 7 days. So that means there is absolutely no time for ratification, and so within these 7 days the council needs to decide and publish its decision. So where does the CCNSO get involved as a decisional participant? So it's clearly in the, or in addition to the initiating process. First of all, with respect to the community forum, because in the, this is a rejection petition community forum. Again, the council is there to inform the CCTLD community, solicit the views of the CCTLD communities, and submit views to the community forum. So this is similar to what we discussed on the approval action process. And the CCTLD community participates in the discussions around the community forum, share their views, submit comments to the CCNSO Council, and contribute actively at the community or community forum as well. So the, that is the rejection forum. Now, there is one complication. Let me slide, go back to this slide. There is one complication which is not included, but that you should be aware of. The community forum normally is, I would say, the ECA, so that Stephen and his group has the opportunity to organize it around ICANN meetings, like in the case of the approval action. The only major exception that we came across to date is with respect to the ICANN budget and operational plan and strategic plan. This is limited to, say, a strict adherence to the, say, 21 days. At the end of the 21 days for the decisional participation, I think within 21 days, the community forum needs to be organized. So that's hardly at any, or it's almost impossible to organize it at ICANN meetings. So that's an additional complication relevant for those cases, and probably that's an important one for the community around the budget, operating plan, and strategic plan. So moving forward again, there is an additional complication with respect to decision making. If during the process of the community forum period, a decisional participant like the CCNSO may decide that it will retract its support or rejects the rejection action petition, in that case, the forum, say the rejection petition is, if enough of the decisional participants do this, the rejection petition will be terminated. So again, This is during the community forum period, so that's a 21-day period. And if the CCNSO decides to do this, right, or the CCNSO Council, just before the end of it, it effectively also implies that the 10% members ask request for ratification is not feasible. Question is, is this decision, a decision in the sense of the rules of the CCNSO, and hence does it apply? But this is an additional complication as a result of the community forum. Okay, moving forward, the rejection decision itself, the final CCNSO rejection decision, again, there is a window of 21 days. The CCNSO Council takes a decision, rejects or abstains, or to support, again, with the current rules, we have in the 21 days, at least 17 members need to ask for a ratification within 1 week after publication of the decision. And again, here you have, if there is such a consultation, the CCNSO effectively needs to abstain because it doesn't take a decision post-deadline. So that's, I think, that was the final slide that Katrina and Stephen will present as part of the rejection action simulation in Joburg. I think is, that's the summary of it. Any questions? And Katrina, are you back? Can you hear us?
I am back. I can hear you, but I'm not sure that it's going to last. So it's better if I just stay.
So any questions? Any questions regarding this bit? I see Martin. Martin, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Bart. And I must admit, I found this slide set particularly useful walking through the process. My question really is on this last slide. And what it seems to say is that if 17 members ask the council to ratify, then that is actually the action. Now, I'm assuming that that is at least 17 members asked to ratify, and a majority of members asked to ratify as well, rather than it just being 17 members, 17 members asked to ratify and 34 reject.
Maybe this is too much of a summary of what's in the rules. Effectively, if the council takes a decision, and maybe that needs to be clarified in all the slides, and we just need to put up the rule so people really understand the scope of the rule. The rule states that if there is a council decision, then at least 10% of the members could ask for a ratification of the decision. So the ratification means yes, no, or abstain. They can ask one. The ratification process itself is with the full membership of the CCNSO. And if you would really drill down to it, or if you drill down further, then there is a first round of consultation or decision-making by the voting by the membership with a quorum rule that at least 50% plus one need to take a vote in order to be quorum. So that's mimicking the rule of the PDPs. Only if you do not meet this threshold of 50% plus one member, then you go in a non-quorum second round of voting, where with a single majority vote. That is the core of the CCNSO rule. That is what we mean with all, say, what is meant in both presentations around the call for ratification and the consultation decision-making by the members, themselves. So maybe we should include this in the presentation and allude to this rule, because then it becomes very, very visual. Does that answer your question, Martin?
Yes, it does, Bart, because really underlying that, what you're saying is that we're then back to the 66-day process of getting the decision through, and that is that we really have a three-step process of going out to the wider membership. The going out to ask for ratification, or rather, people asking for ratification, and then the step of is there a quorum decision, and if there is not, is there a decision, and then we're back to exactly where we were in the earlier discussion. You've answered my question, I think the same problem is arising here, that the process for the membership to have a voice to feed into the council is a very, very long process that essentially puts it out of court every time, therefore we really do need to think about what that overall process should look like. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why it's raised here again, to understand the, say, it's not just in the context of the approval action, but also maybe more importantly in the rejection decision process, or the rejection action, because that could really affect people. Yeah, in both cases they could be affected. And so forget my last remarks. Any other questions, comments? If none, I hand it back to you, Katrina. But you're still on mute. Let me put it the other way around. So you've seen this presentation. This will be part of the, the simulation. Or the role play, how you want to, if you more playfully want to describe it, it's more a role play. Do you think it's worthwhile to do this and include this as part of the presentation of that role play? I don't know how much time we have, but it sets the reason for including it is because we think it sets the scene. So just tick the green box or the red box if you agree or disagree. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you, Bart, for stepping in for Katrina on this. I'd just like to say to my assistants on this call that this is really extremely important to think about and how we want to go forward on this. We've got a fundamental issue with regards to the ability of the CCNSO Council, and I'm now speaking as the CCNSO Council member, to make decisions in a timely manner. With regards to the approval process, we're good to go with regards to that we have a large time frame in which to make a decision. Frankly, it's NXD with regards to approval processes is stacked to ICANN's favor. When we get into rejection petition issues, it's not stacked in our favor. It's stacked in ICANN's favor. And we really have to sort out a robust, quick, nimble ICANN CCNSO decision council decision-making procedure for dealing with rejection decisions. decisions, and God forbid, board removal member, and so on and so forth down that path. But I realistically, we will have to deal with rejection petition stuff, and we have got to get ourselves organized to deal with that in within the time frames orchestrated under NXT. So give it some thought. We need to discuss this when we're together in Joburg. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. So if no further comments, etc., I think this is what Katrina wanted to share with you around the presentations. For your information, Steve and Katrina and I are working on it, on the simulation play. And for those of you present in Johannesburg, first of all, I hope it will be fun and enough provide enough material for a good and thorough discussion on these topics. Stephen, oh, that's an old hand, or is that a new one? That's an old hand. So if nobody... Oh, please go ahead, David.
Thanks, Bart. David here. I just have one AOB item, if I could take 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that is in recent meetings, Katrina has asked Bart and I to work on IRP policy, and I believe that I have the lead on that, and I have not contacted Bart. There are two IRP policies we need. One, non-urgent right now, is a policy for participating in an IRP case. I don't think that's urgent. More urgent is a separate policy on participating in the full establishment of the new IRP, including the standing panel. I've taken some steps, but things will become clearer to me after ICANN 59. ICANN Legal and Policy are working on some things with respect to establishing the standing panel, which I'm in constant contact with Sam Eisner about, and so I'll have more information and more ability to help shape that policy following ICANN 59. Thanks very much, Bart.
And thank you, David, and I have to say I didn't contact you either, so don't be too... that's fine. And maybe we have an opportunity to touch base in Johannesburg. Anybody else? Any other business? Going once. Going twice. Then thank you. Please note the next meeting will be Monday the 26th, so that will be a face-to-face meeting with, say, remote participation opportunities. And then the two sessions in Joburg relating, one relating to the approval action and the other one relating to the rejection action. And I think around the Joburg meeting is we will get back to you, say, for scheduling meetings post Johannesburg, because we still have enough work on our plate. Thank you very much, and for those traveling to Joburg, safe travels, and hope to see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye all. Thanks a lot.